Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in. Welcome and hello to Sacred Sister Podcast. I'm your host, Tana Lina, and this is a solo show, so you just be sitting with me. I'm really excited. This is the very first time that we're doing this also on video, so you can actually watch me sitting here in my office and recording this episode. So let's dive into what it is that we want to talk about today. And I was just thinking, for those of you who are listening to this on our podcast and not on YouTube, you're like, wait, how can I watch the video? Well, we have a YouTube channel, Sacred Sister Podcast. YouTube is live and going. So if you haven't subscribed to it yet, this is your sign to do so. So here we go. What is this episode about? Create your own faith. I've been really feeling into this, especially lately, how important it is for us to have our own truth and are deeply rooted in that truth. That is based on lived experiences rather than books that we read, workshops that we've attended, churches that we've been to, gurus that we've listened to, teachers, mentors. This is all fun to get inspiration, to feel into, okay, what do I really believe in? What is life about? What is the meaning of life? What is my purpose? What is my mission? How does it work? What happens after we die? What happened before I was born? Right? Those are all such deep philosophical questions that at some point in our lives, we all get to ask those ourselves. For some of us, that's like a common thread throughout their whole life. And for others, that may just come up in specific traumatic, often traumatic experiences. For example, when a loved one crosses over, that's usually the point where we're like, kind of get sucked out of the mundane world, out of the normal buzz. And we really get to tune in and be like, wow, what does happen? After we cross over, what do I believe? And we may even attend the funeral or the celebration of life. And we may feel into the different religion or the spiritual practices that this person had or that their family have and the way that they're celebrating them. And we get to ask ourselves, just because I've been part of a certain tradition, just because my family has been Christian, for example, like I was raised Christian, do I truly believe in what the Christian church is telling me? Am I truly, deeply rooted and my faith. We are allowed to ask questions when it comes to our own truth, when it comes to our faith. This was one big piece for me because, you know, I grew up with parents. I love them so very dearly. But my parents have a very unique way of looking at life. On the one side, they're super scientific. My dad was an engineer and my mom was an information technology teacher. So very scientific. My brother has a doctorate in physics. Yeah, so math and science and computers and technology, all of that was promoted in my family. Yeah, it was big. And at the same time, my papa was Catholic or is Catholic. And so that family lineage were deeply devoted Catholics. And my mom kind of married into that. Like she was also baptized Catholic, but they weren't really practicing it so deeply. And they kind of went and came to that compromise that they go to church every second Sunday. And so this is how I grew up. Scientifically oriented parents and going to church every second Sunday in the Catholic faith. Now in science, you're meant to ask questions. You're meant to, you know, doubt, like, you know, really research and ask yourself, how is that working? How does that work? How is that? What happens when I do this and that? You know, we experiment, we play, we are curious, right? That's the scientific mind. And then we come to the religious mind and suddenly we get into this dogma of, when it comes to religion, you're not supposed to ask any questions. And I was like, why? Like, why did I teach this? And why does this, why is this in this religion? You know, why is it Adam and Eve story was a big one for me that really triggered me. Like, why was it a bad thing that they took the fruit from the tree of knowledge? Like the tree of knowledge, like any parent would want their child to become more knowing than they are. Like if I'm as a mother, be like, you can do anything you want, but don't read any books because I don't want you to become smarter than me. It's like, okay, what's wrong with you as a parent? Like obviously that is, doesn't seem like an all-loving God in that realm. In many things in the Old Testament was like, that doesn't seem like an unconditionally loving, beautiful, divine being or force or energy. That seems very conditional, very conditional loving. And so I had all these different questions and none of them were being answered for me because you are not supposed to question your religion. You're not supposed to question your faith. So, of course, I was the rebel in my family and I did question my faith and I did question religion. And even though I grew up as a child with a deep sense of faith, not so much in religion, but rather in knowing that there is a higher force that I am praying to, that is guiding me. And I always call that force Schatz, which means treasure in German. And it wasn't he or she, it was more like a it or a they. It wasn't like an energy. That was another piece that really triggered me when God was only called the Lord and the Father. And I'm like, where is the mother? So a lot of pieces in Catholic Church were really questionable for me, even though there are other pieces that I really loved about it. For example, coming together and singing and, you know, being in church. My papa is or was an organ player and my mama was in a choir, in a church choir. So I have lots of beautiful memories in church and singing together, and especially in Catholic church, they're like very tall buildings and the acoustic is beautiful and it's very sacred. It feels very ceremonial and very special. And I didn't agree with everything that this faith was trying to tell me. And so, what did I do? I went on a journey. I went on a journey to discover my own faith, to explore and to create my own faith out of it, basically, out of my own lived experiences. Rather than reading it out from a book, rather than listening to priests telling me what I'm supposed to think and believe, I wanted to have my own experiences. And when I was a kid, I actually astral travel quite a lot during the night. And I didn't really know what I was doing. And I wasn't able to consciously astral travel. It just kind of happened. And I went into different dimensions and different worlds. And I would be walking around and I would talk to different beings. And I had this deep-seated faith that there is a higher force, like I said. But then when I started school and I started noticing that a lot of my friends were actually atheists, even though they were, a lot of them were baptized, but they didn't actually believe in it and they didn't practice their faith, which is something that I've noticed so much. There are so many people that I know who are officially Catholic or Christian who are not rooted in their faith at all. So many of them have actually deep doubts of what truly happens after we die, of what was the reason why they've incarnated, of what is happening, like what is the meaning of life. And I remember I would talk to my mom about it too, and she'd be like, nobody knows. Nobody knows those things. And it made me be like, you know what? I want to know those things. I want to know them. I want to find them out for myself. So growing up in high school, surrounded by atheists in my friends' groups, I kind of realized, okay, I can't really share my spiritual experiences, my dreams or astral travels. Like after I shared them a few times and people were just kind of looking at me weird or like, oh, you have such a great imagination. Same with my parents. I just kind of stopped sharing about that stuff. And I went more and more into like my own spiritual closet and didn't practice my faith in the outside world, besides going to church every second Sunday with my parents. And so, but I still prayed every night, every single night. And the only time where I stopped praying every single night was when, after I moved to Los Angeles, when I was 21 years old, I moved to Los Angeles to be an actress in Hollywood. And as you can see, that didn't work out. I've had my own experiences with that, and it turned out to be not what I've expected. But it ended up being perfect. But throughout the time being, I ended up being in a relationship with a man much older than me, and he was the owner of a fashion store, and I would be modeling for that fashion store, and that's how I met him. And long story short, we got into this relationship, and it was an emotionally abusive relationship. He was an atheist. He did not believe in soul or spirit. And I thought I was deeply grounded and rooted in my faith. But then when we got together, I kind of adjusted myself to, well, maybe there is no such thing as a higher force. Maybe literally this mundane earthly world is all there is. And so I've lived a full year as an atheist. And I dove into science, quote-unquote science, because, you know, really true science, metaphysical quantum science, dives into the spiritual realm as well. Like, spirituality and science are actually so merged with each other. But when I say the science, I'm talking more about, like, the standard science that we learned in school, yeah? And also, I dove into, you know, the brain and the chemicals. Like, love is just a different kinds of chemicals that are interacting with each other, literally denying all spiritual stuff, energy, soul, everything. And I did that for a whole year. And that led me into my dark night of the soul. It led me into a really dark, depressed state where I was wondering, what am I doing here? What is the meaning of my life? What's the purpose of this? Why am I waking up in the morning? Why am I going to do my work? Like, I'm just a waste of resources. And it was wild because being in this place, I remember how dark it felt and how hopeless, without faith, and how scary death was. And when someone dies, it's like you lose them and they're gone. And you never seen them again. And from this dark place, this dark night of the soul that I've experienced, this is truly where everything else was born. And I recognize now how I had to experience that rock bottom for myself to find my own faith. And I realized how I had to truly break down everything else and go from Christianity to atheism, to really burn down everything to the ashes, to then rise again like a phoenix, stronger than ever and more deeply rooted in my faith and in my truth than ever before. And you know, it's interesting because wherever we have Pluto in our chart, that's the point where we are meant to move through our dark night of the soul in our birth chart. That's the point where we are meant to die, literally release everything, burn everything to the ground, to then rise from the ashes. And that's what I did. And my Pluto is in my house of truth, in my house of faith, beliefs, spirituality. I came from, just by being born, we as children, we have such deeper connection to source. We still remember, you know, our subconscious still remembers why we've incarnated. And then slowly we get conditioned. And when we're raised in a certain religion, we get conditioned with those beliefs. And often we just take those beliefs on and we just make them our own without necessarily questioning them. And I did. I questioned them and I actually burned them to the ground. And I became an atheist for a year. And experienced my dark night of the soul, experienced my rock bottom in spirituality. And also at the same time, like in my truth as well, because I wasn't really fully speaking my truth in that emotionally abusive relationship. So I had to do the burning down to then be reborn in it. and break up from my boyfriend then, quit my job that was soul-sucking, that wasn't aligned with what I stand for, and reconnect with who I am. Remember who I am. Reconnect with my inner child, reconnect with my intuition, with my spirituality, with my prayer, coming back to daily prayers. Coming back to the spirituality that I knew as a child when I pray to Kshatz, rather than any other conditioned beliefs that anybody else has told me. Shortly after that, I met my twin flame, who our very first kiss triggered Kundalini rising in me. I felt this, whoop, literally the snake coming up from the bottom of my spine, all the way up my spine, this electricity psh, shooting up out of my head, and it was like tickling, and it was like going up and down. And I remembered after our first kiss, the first reaction I wanted to do was start laughing because it was such a tickling moment, such an electrifying moment. And I actually blocked myself from laughing because I thought, you know, first of all, I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea that this was a Kundalini activation that was happening. And I just thought, this is just weird right now. This is just super weird because we just kissed and it's this cute, romantic, beautiful kiss. And I start laughing, you know, so I'm like, no, I can't laugh right now. But that's what happened. And it activated me on a whole nother level that I had no idea was even possible to activate me. And then his mom, he's now my husband, his name is Alex, I talked about him a lot in this podcast. His mom gave me this book about astrology, which then made me dive into astrology. He was also doing yoga, so we would be doing yoga together. I would back doing my yoga practice, which I kind of started before, but I never really got too deeply into it. I started meditations. I started really to dive into my spiritual journey. And through the meditations, I also was obsessed with learning how to walk outside my body, have an out-of-body experience, consciously choose to leave my body. And when I say leave my body, I mean shift my consciousness from my physical body into the astral body. Leave my physical body behind and move out of it. And I talk about that in the episodes, What Happens After We Die, part one and part two. I talk about that, my first out-of-body experience, and how much that has shifted my whole life. Because that was the moment when my belief that we are multidimensional beings incarnated into this human body shifted into knowing. That was the moment where the belief shifted into knowing. Because I've experienced it firsthand. And nobody can take this from me. Nobody can take this from me. It doesn't matter what any book is saying. It doesn't matter what any scripture is saying, what any priest is saying. Nobody can take my own experiences from me. It doesn't matter what science or the experts are saying either. And that is faith. Right? That is the deepest rooted faith. And I like to compare it with, you know, imagine back in the day. People living in Europe. You just see this vast ocean. Yeah, like, let's say you live in France. You see this vast ocean, or in Spain, you know, Portugal. And some talk about how beyond this ocean, there's land, right? America. But nobody has been there before, and nobody truly knows. But there are stories, books written about it, people telling you about it and saying there is land there. And then some people say, there is no land. This is the only land that we have. Focus on this land. And you're like, wait, I'm curious. Like, what about that land? Like, I want to see it. I want to explore it. And people are like, no, you cannot explore it. You just have to believe. You just have to believe that it's there. And then you say, you know what? No, I'm going to explore that land. And you're going to go to someone that maybe has a ship. And then it's like, you know, hey, I've been there. I'm not just telling you these stories that someone else is telling and I'm just resharing them over and over again. No, I've actually been to that land. And I know it's there. I'm not just believing that there's a land. I know that there is land. And I guide you to it if you want to. And you'd be like, yeah. Holy yes. Let's do it. And so this is what I do with my clients. I truly am this guide. And I guide you through the ocean of life on your own ship, finding land, exploring the lands outside of the land that you came to know as your reality. And then you can make your own truth. You can create your own faith. Because just because you found that land, then it's like, what does it mean? What does this experience mean? How do you interpret this experience? That's personal. That's what we get to do personally. Individually, each one of us gets to interpret our own experiences differently. And when we are in this space where we've actually been there and we've actually seen it, like with my clients, I've developed this method called astral hypnosis. I call it astral hypnosis because we go into hypnosis through somatic body movements, breath work, chakra cleansings, like a unique technique additionally to hypnosis that really takes you deep into your subconscious, deep into the soul world, deep into the astral realm. That's why I call it astral hypnosis. And so it shifts your consciousness from the physical body into the astral body. When you are in your astral body, you can travel through time and space, just like that. And so that's what we do in my client sessions. We go into the past, we integrate traumas, we remember gifts, we rewrite stories. You know, we go into the future, look at potential future timelines, tune into the one that we want to manifest. We go into different lifetimes, parallel lifetimes, past lives, future lives, lives on different planets. And we go into the life between lives. And you might know this saying from Michael Newton. He's a famous hypnotherapist who also takes his patients, or took his patients, he's crossed over by now, but he took his patients to the life between lives, which is basically what you would call heaven or hell, potentially. But that is the place that we go to after we cross over. And before we reincarnate, if that is what we desire to do. And so going to that place, I also guide my clients to then meet God and Goddess and experience them. Have their own experience. Interestingly enough, a lot of these experiences are somewhat similar to. Like how God shows up and how Goddess shows up. It's it's similar, even though my clients come from different backgrounds, from different religions that they've been grown up, like different experiences that they have in life. And yet the experience of God and Goddess is similar. So there is a truth that is collective, that is deep. It's like the laws of the universe, you know, that is deep truth. And then we also have our personal truth of what does that mean to us? How do we interpret that for ourselves? And how do we live with that truth in our own life? And so it's in astrology, when you feel into that, that's kind of the balance between Gemini and Sagittarius. Sagittarius is deep faith, belief, wisdom. Yeah, it's my midheaven. And Gemini is on the opposite side, and that's doubt, asking questions, research, being curious, shifting perspectives. Yeah, and so it's this balance between the science and the spirituality. One that is asking questions and researching, and the other one that knows deeply within because of the lived experiences. And life is like a balance between the two. So when I receive new knowledge, and I just recently had that actually happen to me, because I shared about Lilith and how I work with the archetype of Lilith through three different stages of pain moving into, you know, shame moving into power, moving into purpose. Because the story of the archetype of Lilith is that she was shamed as the first wife of Adam, and she was outcasted from paradise, from Garden Eden. And she moved through revenge or holy rage to then realize her true purpose and how she can actually use her power for the highest good. And she comes back as the serpent, giving Eve the apple of the tree of knowledge to activate her Kundalini rising, to realize who she truly is, and to realize that the God is actually not God with a capital G, but God with a small letter G, of how we are all gods, and there are higher beings than us who pretend to be gods to us. Or who are gods, but they're not the ultimate life force energy. And that's one story. And then there are many other stories of Lilith too, and many other interpretations of it, right? And I've worked with that interpretation for a long time now, and I've worked with that archetype of moving from shame, what we've been shamed for, wherever you have Lilith in your chart is what you've been shamed for, and how you turn that. Oftentimes it goes into holy rage, something that we're really almost like abusing our power in that realm. And then how we can actually use that power for our purpose. And then I posted about it, and I've received actually from two of my sacred sisters, or that I've been sitting in circle with, who are, one of them especially, went back to Christianity and is deeply devoted to Christianity now. And so they were triggered, and they shared with me their knowledge and their information that they have gathered on Lilith. And so when I'm receiving new information, it's like, okay, let me take that in. Let me take that in. Let me feel that out. Let me do some research, you know, let me read some stuff, which I love, because then I got to find this book of Lilith, which I'm reading right now, which is super fascinating. But ultimately, I take in this information, and instead of feeling like overwhelmed and confused, because that's truly what we can find ourselves in this society, like literally every single thing. Every single belief that you may have of life, you can find approval of it and confirmation online. every single one, probably. That's, it's like the age of information, right? And so much information, so much Gemini of information that is there. It is so important for us to go into Sagittarius to have faith on our, and not just faith because someone else tells us what to believe in, but faith from our lived experiences. That is our truth. And so I'm receiving this new knowledge, and that's fun, and that's, you know, exciting, and I'm curious and whatever, and allows me to like spark and like see how does that feel inside of me. You know, Gemini brings in this fresh breath of air, and we don't want to stay stuck in Sagittarius and be dogmatic about it, you know, and be, this is the only right way. This is the only truth, and there's nothing else. You know, that's why we get into a lot of wars in this world, and we have a lot of problems that are originated from this imbalance that we're feeling. So I receive this information, and then I feel into what is my truth. What is my true experience with Lilith? Is she truly a demon to me? Does she feel like an evil being? Does that archetype invoke inside of me something evil, something dangerous? And I feel into it and I'm like, no, not at all. Working with the archetype of Lilith has been absolutely transforming in my life. And it makes a lot of sense because Lilith is conjunct my self node and my Mercury. Lilith plays an integral part in my unique blueprint. So for other people, that story may not resonate at all, and it may not be important at all. But for me, my life experience, I was shamed for certain things that now I have turned into my power. You know, one of them being my spiritual experiences, you know, one of them sharing as a kid about my astral travels and being shamed for it and being like, that's not real. Like, you're making this up with your mind. You have such great imagination. And now that is actually the greatest gift that I can give to others, because I can share with them what happened in my astral travels. And beyond that, I don't want to just be the guy. I don't want to just be the person that says, this is what I've downloaded. I'm going to channel this for you. And, you know, I am your guru and you got to listen to me. Like, no, I want you to be your own channel. I want you to have your own spiritual experiences, to get your messages from your spirit team. This is why in each of our sessions, in our, my client sessions, I don't give them action guides. Yeah, I might suggest certain things that, you know, comes out, oh, that's what I'm feeling right now, and I'm going to add that. But their main action guides comes from their spirit team. We work hand in hand with their spirit team. And it's like beyond myself. The rebirth that they're moving through, the holy leadership that they're stepping into is beyond myself. It is inside of them. And I am just here to guide them within, to guide them, to open up their channel and have their own experiences of what it means. What is the meaning of their own life? What it means to be alive for them in this human body and in all the other lifetimes that they've had, and how can they accumulate all the wisdom of all the lifetimes into this lifetime now and make the most out of it? And who is God, or what is God, and what is Goddess, and how can they connect with God and Goddess? And how can they connect and commune with their loved ones who have crossed over and receive messages and decode synchronicities? This is my deepest passion. Is truly to help people create their own faith, being so deeply rooted in their truth because of the lived experiences. Because they traveled overseas and they landed on the ground. They've been there. They've experienced with their own eyes. I'm not the one channeling their past lives and be like, you were an Egyptian queen in the past. No. They're moving through it themselves. They see it through their own eyes and they feel it. Oh my gosh, I'm in a new body right now. I'm in this new reality. I'm in this lifetime. Oh, this is what's happening right now. And we're moving through this. It's so much fun for me. Like, I'm just like, it's like a computer game, you know, like just guiding them into, okay, so let's explore the next room. Okay, so let's talk to that person. Okay, let's go down here. Okay, so what is going on? Like, how did you get here? You know, and like just ask questions as they are having their journey and their experience. It's so much fun. And the channels and the downloads that we're receiving through that, absolutely amazing. Every single one of us is a unique channel. You have a unique channel and you have a message that you are meant to give to the world that is only coming through you, that only you can birth in the way that you're birthing it, right? And so, in these times, it is so important that we always come back to, what do I believe? And when you find yourself in a moment where you're like, I'm going to deepen my faith, I'm going to deepen my truth, I want to actually have like deep spiritual experiences and integrate them. Because that's another part. We can have psychedelic experiences, you know, and be like, wow, I experienced oneness with everything. But then we go back into the mundane world and we're like, okay, so what do I do with this now? And the important part is to integrate our experience and to bring it into our mundane way of living. Sacralizing the mundane. Infusing spirit into our everyday. Like, I am in contact with my spirit team every single day. And they are helping me and guiding me and supporting me and protecting me and my family and my friends and my community. I'm praying every day for all of us. And it's beyond religion. And when you find yourself in a place where you're like, you know, I thought that I was Christian, but I actually do want to have my own experiences of this and deepen my awareness and find out what is my truth beyond whatever people told me was evil or that's good and that's evil and you should do that and should not do that. Create your own experiences and then feel into them. And that's when we really have faith. Faith means trust, right? Trust in ourselves, trust in our intuition. If someone says to you, all spirits are bad and evil, can you say that that's 100% true? It's almost like someone saying, all black people are bad and evil. Obviously, that's wrong. Obviously, whenever we are blanketing, you know, like, what is the word? Overgeneralizing. All of them are here, or this never happens, or this is always... It's not true. I've downloaded this rule that says every rule has an exception except for this one. Every rule has an exception except for this one. And yet it has an exception. And I loved it so much because I feel that is exactly what it is, right? We have the rules, you know, or the beliefs that we think, and then, and there's an exception to that belief too. And someone can have the opposite perspective of that belief too. And we can actually hold both. And it's okay for someone to experience something in a different way than to myself. And I can still hold them, and I can still hold them in love, and I don't need to make them wrong. Right, this is where we want to get to as a collective. We want to get to this point where we can hold each other's beliefs and we can hold each other's truths. Be like, yes, I understand. This is your truth. It's not my truth, but I honor yours. And as long as we're happy and we don't hurt anyone consciously, we can believe whatever we desire to believe. I mean, if you wanna, there's this whole thing about a spaghetti monster, right? This religion that was founded about the spaghetti monster. If you want to believe in a spaghetti monster and it makes you a better person, it makes you more joyful and happy and peaceful and you're more giving and loving to others, great. Perfect. You know, that's the faith for you. Truly. You know, and ultimately it comes down to where I'm like, I don't need to prove any of this to be real. I know for myself it's real. I know for my clients it's real. I don't need to prove it to anyone else who's doubting it that this is real. These astral travels that I'm moving through. Because if someone doesn't believe them, then that's okay. That's what they want to believe. And even if it wasn't real, even if I just believed them to be real, there's such thing as the placebo effect, is when we believe something to be real, it actually has an effect as if it was real. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. So, if you are in this place right now where you say, I want to deepen my faith, I want to really trust my intuition and walk through life in a way that is aligned to my soul mission, remembering who I was before I was born, remembering my past lives, my parallel lifetimes, and integrating those gifts from those other lifetimes into this one, and channeling my spirit team and channeling my loved ones who have crossed over, and being this community, like expanding my community. Literally, I'm never alone. If I don't want to be alone, I can always call in someone to talk to. So, if you are in this place, find a way to have your own spiritual experiences. I have one-on-one mentorship, either a 4-month intensive rebirth or a 13-month holy leadership. And this is where I am guiding you on astral hypnosis, and we're experiencing the magic of life. We're experiencing other realms of dimensions to then integrate them into this realm of dimension so that you feel more embodied in this reality. And if you're in this place where you're like, I don't know if I'm ready to invest in my soul sovereignty and my spirit development just yet, I also have a freebie, and the freebie is called Meet Your Higher Self. I'm going to link that into the episode description. In this freebie, I'm talking about the higher self, what the higher self is, and then I'm guiding the group into an astral hypnosis. So you can experience an astral hypnosis on your own for the first time, and you can let me know when you tag me, like record a little boomerang of it, tag me, write down your greatest takeaway from the session or from the masterclass, and then message me privately on Instagram what came up for you, and I help you decode it. A lot of times spirit communicates with us in quite a symbolic way, and it is an art to interpret the signs and synchronicities. So I'm happy to help you decode it. And yeah, that would be on Instagram. I'm going to link my Instagram down here as well. And that is it. So this is where we're at. Create your own faith. I'm so curious. Let me know. Comment here under the YouTube video. if you're listening to this on a podcast, tag me, write me a DM on Instagram at Hannalena Christensen, or email to me, ask@hannachristensen.com, and let me know how this landed for you. Let me know where you're at on your journey. Have you created your own faith? How deeply rooted are you in your truth? What are some of the spiritual experiences that you've had that you are still kind of trying to integrate them and trying to figure out what they actually meant for you? I'm so curious. This is what I live for. So let's connect. Love you so much, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, beloved. If you found the ideas, concept, message, and mission to be in alignment with what you want to see and hear rippling throughout the collective, for heaven's sake, we invite you to be a part of that ripple creation and share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, in their life, in their growth.
Another way to share your support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. If your Instagram feed is in need of more uplifting, conscious, spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So, with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode. Namaste, beloved.
Bye.